This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! 1-0-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, y'all boys, man. Keep hands on 2-1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Zach Gelb is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. You can hear him nationally on the Infinity Sports Network. Comes to us Wednesdays from the WFAN studios in New York City. Before we talk football, I always remind you, get geared up with Canes or Dolphins merch this season at Caneswear and Davie or online at caneswear.com. Gelby, you're our national voice. You saw how the Dolphins started their season in Indy on Sunday. What's the national reaction?
Now, get ready for the Hurricanes, get ready for Florida State, and get ready for USF. Your football season is over when it comes to the professional team. That coach, who is Napoleon Dynamite, he is a mess. He is a disaster. He couldn't operate. He couldn't find a way to lead a one-car funeral procession right now. He would get lost on that. He has no control of that locker room. Tyreek, I knew he was going to have a freak out on the sideline. I didn't think it was going to happen in week one. And Tua is healthy right now, and it still went that poorly. So that team's a disaster. Could they beat New England this weekend? Yes, absolutely. New England obviously is not the same old New England with Brady no longer there and Belichick no longer there, and they still struggle with the Dolphins. But that was a team. It's one thing to lose, and it's another thing to get embarrassed. Like if you told me going in, I thought they were going to win the game. But if you told me they would lose the game by three, okay, not the end of the world. But the way that they made Daniel Jones look like he was Dan Marino, oh, my God, that was embarrassing, pathetic, putrid. I want to hear Hawk defend Mike McDaniel now.
Not this week.
Yeah. Next Wednesday.
You know what? Today's a great day. It's another day closer to Mike McDaniel getting fired.
So, I'm glad you said that. Is there ever a must-win week two? Because week three is prime time in Buffalo. That's not going to go the Dolphins' way. We all know that. So if you don't beat the Pats this Sunday, you're starting 0-3. Is there a such thing as must win on week two?
Yeah. If they go 0-2 to start this season, you just pile and pile and pile on more. And then you actually start to feel bad leading into that Bills game. Because you know they're not beating the Bills. Unless if Josh Allen gets hurt, there's no shot that they are beating the Buffalo Bills. So you have to have this one.
Hey, the inevitable thought is that Greer, McDaniel, like the Dolphins are going to clean house, Gelb. If this does spiral, if they can't beat New England and they're 0-3, like what's your thought process on how to go about that as an owner or as the person calling the shots? Do you kind of just let them ride it out this year because, hey, like this is their last year anyways? Or do you just start axing people in the middle of the season? Like, what's your thought process on how that should play out?
Yeah, I don't know if you get rid of people 3 weeks into a season. It's definitely possible. But I look around that bye week, right? Do you guys have bye week like week 11 or week 12? That I don't know. We're looking down the road. You would think that they'd be able to find a way to tread some water. You know, even if they keep on going down and it's ugly and it looks like they're going to drown, you would think that they'd be able to tread some water at some point this season, because this team does have some talent. It's not as if they don't have talent, but when the offensive line's been a major question mark the last few years, the defense just got snake bit in the last 2 years with injuries, and they didn't really do enough to address the secondary. You know, Solana could be playing corner for them coming up in 2 weeks up against the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, you got guys that are really good skill position players. You know, when you can't block and when your quarterback is not a great quarterback and you can't cover anyone, things like this happen.
And actually, I stole this question from Solana because I thought about it. He asked somebody yesterday, do you like the, he called it the blame pie, right, Solana? Blame pie. Like yeah. Blaming Stephen Ross. Like, do you look at coach? Because the Jacksonville Jaguars haven't done anything, but people don't look at Shad Khan like he's a problem. But people are starting to question Stephen Ross with the Dolphins. Like, does the owner, for him to not have that football man between him and the decision making, do you blame him since they've looked so bad? It is week one, since they've looked so bad.
I blame the owner for one thing. And the one thing I blame him for, and I think this is inexcusable. Why does Chris Greer get the longest leash possible? Like, I make the joke, what pictures does Chris Greer have of Stephen Ross? What incriminating emails does Chris Greer have of Stephen Ross? Because it makes no damn sense why Chris Greer has been able to run this team for as long as he's been able to do with the lack of success that he's been able to have.
Yeah, but that, to me, it's interesting because I think Chris Greer, we've picked it apart. He's made a lot of good decisions. Roster-wise, they're not horrible. You said it yourself. And so I wonder, are we doing, and people do it all the time, overreaction after one game. Are we taking one game? Admittedly, the worst game that I can recall Tua playing, the worst preparation I can recall of any Mike McDaniel-led team. Are we taking one game and putting too much weight on it, being that it was the first game of the season?
No, it's because it's the way that Greer and McDaniel also conduct themselves. Like, Greer was basically laughing at the reporters a year ago about things that he didn't address, right? I think it was the line, right? Where mm-hmm. he goes, oh, you guys are more concerned about that than I am. And it ended up hurting that football team a year ago. And I don't know if I should be Mike McDaniel's PR person. And this is what I would tell him. Shut up. Like, you have the podium. We played an answer yesterday. I had my producer walk laps around the studio to see how many laps he could do until that guy stopped giving an answer. You do not need to sit there and give a 2.5 minute answer and tell you that it can't get worse. Because here's the reality. It can get worse. You were playing the Colts. It's not as if you were playing this great team. What happens when you actually do play a great team?
Have you seen something? Because Hawk, I think, is presenting a case of, hey, he's built a pretty good roster. You're just not seeing the results. But Gelb, like, body of work, remove it, Chris Greer, remove the Dolphins. It's what the exercise I always do with these guys. Like, if I told you there was a general manager who's had two opportunities to hand select his coach, went through a full rebuild, had a draft with three first round selections, got the quarterback that he tanked to go after, and ultimately, in the second era with a different head coach, still hasn't been able to produce results. I think that's why week one against the Colts was as important as it was. What should expectations be at this point? And we all set them at a playoff win, but I don't know anymore if that's even reasonable.
No, if this team has a playoff win this year, I would be shocked. Like, I don't see how... I don't want to say I don't see how they don't make the playoffs, right? Teams have bad week ones and they rebound. But there's just not enough depth on this team. Like, they have a Ferrari, right? And you see this Ferrari from four blocks away. And you're like, oh, that's a nice car in the driveway. Right? You got Tua. You got Jalen Waddle. You got Devon Achane. You got Tyreek Hill. And you get closer and closer to that Ferrari. And you go, oh, it's missing a front tire. The windshield has a crack in it. Oh, you turn on the car, the check engine light is on. The entirety of this roster has flaws. I always said it from the start. I thought they were trying to build the 49ers light. Like, that's what I always thought. This is like the Walmart version of the 49ers. But for Greer to be there as long as he's been and not to have a playoff win,
And how does this guy still have a job?
And Gilby, the only team that scored less points than the Dolphins week one was your beloved Giants.
I'm a Patriot fan.
We don't buy that.
When is Jackson Dart going to start? Because that's going to be day balls out. Is that, okay, I'm throwing a young guy in. He's going to save me for a couple weeks.
Soon. Because even after the game, he did that whole, oh, we'll see. And then, oh, we're going to play Russell Wilson. What they're doing right now, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, they know their jobs are on the hot seat. The owner, John Mara, prefers to bring them back next year. But if you unleash Jackson Dart right now and he doesn't play well, or it's the entire season, you don't walk away at the end of the season thinking he's the guy, then there may not be a justification for Daboll and Shane to come back. So I think they're going to try to keep Jackson Dart wrapped up as long as possible. But if he's not starting by the end of the month or by early October, I'll be absolutely shocked. And I've been saying it from the start. Once I saw him in the preseason, Jackson Dart should be starting for this football team because Russell Wilson is washed and his career ended basically 3 years ago.
As long as we're talking about the NFL in general, what do you think about Caleb Williams? You still in on him, out on him?
I love Jaden Daniels going into the draft. And I wanted my Patriots, right, towards the end of the season, get the number two overall pick so they could get Jaden Daniels. When I look at Caleb Williams, he has the talent. The leadership is an issue. The poise is an issue. And I put the other night more on Ben Johnson than Caleb Williams because Caleb Williams is supposed to get fixed by Ben Johnson. And they had that awesome start right out of the gate where they scored the touchdown. And then it went downhill all after that. And Kevin O'Connell coached circles around Ben Johnson, who I know he said kick the ball out of bounds. You got to make sure the ball goes out of bounds there. So he messed that up. He mismanaged his timeouts. And that guy, Ben Johnson, how arrogant that dude is all offseason. Gets the job. Oh, I enjoy beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. Oh, I don't like the tush push because it's not an explosive play. And then a reporter goes, well, you know, it leads to first down and touchdowns. You're the Bears. You never had a 4,000-yard passer. Who is your coach to determine, oh, if you want an explosive play or just a tush push, just get the ball in the frickin' end zone. So to see him blow that game, I actually liked it because I don't know if it serves him humble pie, but in my mind, it serves some humble pie to Ben Johnson.
Did Justin Herbert launch himself into the elite category of NFL quarterbacks? I feel like he was always kind of floating in the kind of like second to third tier, but that game against Mahomes to beat him again, primetime, second game of the season in Brazil, that was impressive, man. As much as I hate it as a Justin Herbert hater, that was impressive.
Let's be real. In terms of talent, he's a top 10 quarterback in this league. Like, if we're drafting quarterbacks, he would be one of the first 10 quarterbacks that are taken. But what he did the other night was damn impressive, but it's only one game. Like, that's a dude you pay him that much money. You team him up with an elite coach in Jim Harbaugh. He, bare minimum, has to win one playoff game this year. So it's a good start, but that can't be the highlight of the season, or else you go back into the same thing with Justin Herbert, where you know the talent's really good, but is it the same thing with Philip Rivers where, you know, when push comes to shove, you don't actually win anything with him?
Who would you rather have, Herbert and Harbaugh or Tua and McDaniel?
I was wondering how you were going to troll me here.
All right, Zach Gelb, you can hear him on the Infinity Sports Network nationally.
You know what? I'd actually rather have McDaniel and Zach Wilson. McDaniel and Zach Wilson. How about that?
Jackson Dart and Brian Daboll was always going to be his answer.
Channing Crowder will be on Zach Gelb's show. How was he received this week? We know Crowder was a guest of yours this week. How was he received nationally?
Good. But he was talking about how embarrassed he was to see his Florida Gators lose to USF. And then after the interview, I see some video circulating on Twitter of Crowder sleeping during the game. So how locked in were you there, big fella?
Fake news.
AI generated.
That was the best way for a Gators fan to watch that game.
Yeah. Should have just went to Tootsies, honestly.
I wouldn't sleep at Tootsies.
Drown yourself in something else.
By Zach Gelb from the Infinity Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Network.
Hello and good morning, everybody. It's Mike Hunt here from 106.9 The Bone with your Milpina Sports Update. The Trojans had a rough one this week as they fell to Santa Teresa 63-10. Trojan head coach Bo Nurr said he's confident in his team's ability to come back strong. Milpitas will host Los Altos tomorrow night at Bo Camper Stadium. And don't forget, tomorrow is Dollar Foot Log Hot Dog Night. For those with a smaller appetite, we will have 6 inches for just 50 cents. Now let's send it back to my guys in Miami. 0-1 Bo and company man Harold.
I'm getting where I don't like that guy from your hometown, Bo. I used to kind of like him.
I don't mind. The 0-1. He did give me argument with the 0-1. I was 7-0 Bo last year. Yeah. Now I was 3-1 Bo, and now I'm down one. I'm already down one notch, and he's already.
Oh, man.
Already, you know.
All right.
That guy's an ass, though, you know?
Yeah, he is. He is an ass clown.
Hopefully, we get 500 Bo after this week.
If he gets anywhere near, if he gets even close to Fremont, he's gonna be in trouble.
Well, he's around your guys. Yeah, he's history.
No.
They may be a little older, but they're still feisty. There's no question.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Well, he's kind of old himself, a little, and not in very good shape. Let's put it that way.
No, he's not in great shape.
He's not going to run a 40-yard dash in 7 seconds.
No. What do you expect this week?
I don't know, Joe. I you know what's funny? There was sitting down. You know me. I go down to the sideline. I sit down and kind of watch what's going on in the field and this and that. And you know, guys come by and talk, and everyone's going, "What do you think?" And I'm saying, you know what? I really don't know. I don't know. I've watched this team, watched all the preseason games and all the practices and joint practices that we've seen, and I couldn't put my finger on this football team was going to be. And one of the main reasons I couldn't put my finger on it, we never saw that team that fully, a full offensive line, which is very important because, an offensive. Like most positions on the field, secondary, linebackers, defensive line, you got to work with those guys to know what the other guy's doing because you interact with them on every play. So we had an offensive line we never played, the right side had never played together with the left side, you know. And so you don't know what that's going to be. You had a bunch of pass rushers outside. None of them really worked together with the inside guys. So you don't know what that's going to be. And then a secondary that really was patched up going into the first game. And so, when we were talking to Scott Zolak, he kind of mentioned it, you know, these guys, they don't play a lot in the preseason.
Right. Everybody was healthy, but rusty.
So you have Tua and you had Waddle not playing. You had
Tyreek was out most of camp.
You had that ghost of a tight end that we haven't seen and may never see. That you're counting on, and so, you know, what do you expect? So I that's the reason I said I don't know. I mean, you know, these coaches need to figure out somehow that you know the season starts on week one. It's not an extension of the preseason where you get to see guys and play a full game. To me, I'd like to see at some point where you get these teams that say, hey, look, we're going to play our starting 22. Three quarters in one of these games. So at least they've done it together. But I don't think that's ever going to happen again.
No.
But I think it really for the Dolphins, it was blatant that, first of all, they couldn't protect Tua. They played against a pretty good defensive front. Lou Anarumo called it a hell of a game.
Sweet Lou had
he had their number on that thing. And, you know, you're getting guys coming, free rushers coming off the side when a guy doesn't turn out where he should have turned out and picked him up. Simple thing to do.
How that happens.
And you know, well, that happens because you never set foot on the field during the preseason and stuff like that. And then you get a quarterback that his whole game plan, his whole being is predicated on timing. And once you pull down that ball, we've seen it over and over. Once you pull down that ball, once Tua pulls that thing down, anything can happen.
I agree.
And for the most part, it's not going to be good, right?
The best
thing is maybe he throws the ball on the ground and lives to play another day. Other than that, it's usually bad.
Doesn't escape well.
No.
Obviously, can't get outside the pocket. Doesn't have the athletic ability of a lot of the other guys. So you're right. He is all about
timing. And look, I saw him during the game kind of look at his different, you know, look at one guy, go to, you know, look at his progressions. And he just found nobody to throw the ball to at times. And although, but plus he was like in the Redwood Forest in Northern California, you know, because people were all around him and towering over him to throw the ball. So.
And he got hit. I thought once he got hit a little bit, was like, he took some big punches.
The hit he took in the back was something he's not going to, you know, you don't
forget
that.
That'll take one when you go home and play cards and hang out and play video games with your wife. That one will be a little sore for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this. This is a fun one.
You taking shot, a little shot.
That was a little shot.
Yeah, okay.
I don't hear after Tua enough. I hear too much we.
Yeah.
I want to hear I.
Yeah.
You're the friggin' franchise quarterback making franchise quarterback money.
Yeah.
Say I. Anyway.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. And look, I thought Mike McDaniel, I thought Mike kind of put it on himself. He also talked about the leaders. And so, you know, it's a funny dynamic on this team. Like you talk about Tua. And then Mike, and you know, Mike's philosophizing and it's, you know, you kind of figure out where that little nugget is that he's talking about. And so, you know, I mean, look, he called a couple guys out. He called a couple guys out after the game.
Yeah. But they were guys that can take it.
Yes.
Zach Seeler.
Yes. And the other thing he did was, well, you know, I want to talk to the captains. I want to talk to the leaders on the team. Well, they didn't play very well at all either. So what are you going to talk to them about? You know, at some point, you got to be the coach. And I don't need to talk to my leaders to see when I saw a piece of crap on the field. I don't need you to tell me why.
Yeah.
I know why. And it's going to come from me, not distributed to, you know, through the locker room.
Right.
So, you know, I think if you listen to anything nationally this week, boy, the vitriol that's come down on him and Chris Greer has been stifling. I mean, my gosh.
So starting with the roster is not very good, which, we are thin at offensive line and cornerback again.
And how many guys nationally did – and I'm not saying these nationally – look, these guys, they're in L.A., they're in New York, they're in Chicago, they're wherever they're at, they're not here. So they're seeing this from a distance, and they're not always right. But, you know, we're thinking, oh, Jesus, the roster's looking pretty good. We got these guys, got a good front seven. We got this and that. And you're seeing it as well. I knew they really didn't have a very good roster, right, coming out, you know. Now, what do? You go out and you kick somebody's ass this week and say, you know what, blow it out your ass because we are that good. Now, we'll see if that happens.
Well, how much can you turn around from week one to week two and – you know, again, New England's like a lot of teams. They have really good areas of the team, and they have some problems on their team, too, and they got some guys banged up.
But, Joe, you got no time. You got no time. You know, to tell you what, there's no time. You already lost one
got Buffalo
that you,
next.
That you figured was in your back pocket. Now you got New England. Now you got Buffalo. Now you got Jets. You're playing three AFC East teams in a row. If you lose all those three games, if you go 4-0 and 4, lose these three. Look, it'd be a miracle if you're going to win in Buffalo. Everyone kind of realizes that, right? But if you lose to the New England and the Jets, you have no chance of winning the AFC East. The AFC East is gone at that point. Now you're just scratching and clawing.
That happens, Bo.
Now you're just scratching and clawing for a wild card.
Bo, you go 0-4. There might be other things going on.
Well, I did say wild card. Okay. Yeah. Well, they're not going to win the AFC East if they lose three.
If they go on four, I don't think they can make the wild card.
No, well, I don't either. But I'm at least I'm giving them a sniff there.
I'd start worrying more about getting the first pick than getting a wild card spot.
Right now you're worried about getting the first pick.
I mean, I am, but yeah.
No, but he started right after the game.
I know.
Hey, yeah. But I will tell you, they go 0-4, and it's got a bad smell to it. The GM and head coach, the all bets are off.
Bo, you were on the field like they just did not seem to respond to the coach anymore. They seem like a lifeless team that didn't let the stuff in the offseason bother them. You would have thought, like, and I know you just said, like, they're going to come out, like, they want to kick someone's ass. Like, why wasn't that their mentality in the opener?
I can't answer that question.
I thought they were going to say, we've had enough.
I don't think Mike coaches that way. I think Mike Vrabel coaches that way, whether he's going to be successful or not. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have, like Tony Sperano came in. He was a tough guy, and it didn't help him to, he was there for a while, but it didn't help him.
When you play like the promised land, everybody's bringing up
everything about
Mike McDaniel.
Everything.
The nice guy. The stuff and people, you know what everybody says, and the way he dresses and talks to guys and the captain this and the captain's that.
But again, look, we saw the same thing last year, Joe, where he basically came out and said, hey, look, I'm the coach, but the players run the team, right? Wasn't that his message?
His teammates.
But my teammates,
Don Shula said that one time.
No, I didn't.
I don't know if I've heard many coach, but you know what I'm saying? His belief is that if you treat the players with respect, and I think everyone should be treated with respect, but he goes about it a different way, that they'll in turn, feel obligated to you to do their best. But there's guys out there that say, hey, you give me an inch, I'm going to take another 4 or 5 inches, and then it becomes a mile, right?
Yes, and he's got some of those guys.
Look, I don't. Every team has some of those guys on them.
Yes.
It's just how you corral them, right?
You hope they've got the right guys around them to get through it and stuff. So let me ask you the other thing that we have going on right now. When you don't need distractions, it happens right after everything. That night we come out, we find out that Tyreek Hill has got – listen, man, the divorce thing, I've been through it. It wasn't public like his stuff, but now with the things he's being accused of, now there's an NFL investigation.
It's a distraction. It's another distraction.
So the coach has to answer that. He didn't do anything, but he's got to answer because he's a head coach.
Right, exactly. And so there you go. There's time taking away from what the task at hand is to do something else, which is a distraction. And in the coaching, look, in everyday life for everybody that's just kind of doing their jobs and stuff, a distraction is not a big thing. For a coach, a distraction of 20 minutes sets off their schedule because these guys are here. I want to be dead set on that. And so now I got to pull away from something that I need to do to handle this or to answer this question or to do this or to do that or get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning where you've got something that, which happened earlier with the coach. Yeah. So this team has been kind of like a mishmash. And then you got a tight end that you're expected to be on opening day. Where is he at? All the crapola that kind of lingers around, it piles up.
I look at the depth chart again.
I was going to say bad words. But
I know we don't say, if you're going to say bad words, you cannot be on the, I'm not going to tolerate that. Hey, depth chart.
Yeah.
Waller's still number one. I'm like, number one? Still the number one tight end here. I know. We'll make sure he gets respect all the way out the door here.
Well, he wasn't ruled out officially, was he?
No, but
they said he could be out for the season, but he might not be also.
No, he said it was the first time I've ever heard it. He could play this week, but he could also be cut.
Yeah.
It's kind of a wide.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, released. I don't see.
So let me ask,
maybe he plays.
So let me ask you this then. Hollywood. So he plays. What do you think he's going to be? How do you think he's going to be like? What do you think he's going to be like?
I think he'll be
terrible. Guy hasn't done anything.
I haven't seen him in the beginning.
I haven't seen him run a route. And so he's just going to come in and he's going to be Russ Francis or Dave Casper or something like that? Well, I mean,
I think this is another disaster signing that they
own. You know who those guys are, Hollywood?
I mean, this is – no, I don't. I have no idea.
At least he was honest about that. Dave Casper, who the hell is that? So it does bring up the whole thing because I'm the same way. Bo, you can't go from 0 to 60 from staying on the side for 2 years, basically whatever he's been doing for 2 years.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything in camp, and now we're going to throw him in a game for 20 plays.
Yeah.
That'll be – how many games will he make it?
Yeah. And so look at – so you go in that game with Julian Hill and Tanner Connor as your tight ends. And now Mike has
probably
been a
going into this
and,
game
and
the
now,
same
now
way.
Mike has been a guy over the years that has liked to bring in three tights at times. So now you don't have
I thought they were going to go with an extra offensive lineman. Well, I was wrong.
I thought they may stick Ingold out there as a third tight end in a desperation situation, but obviously they didn't get to it. But so even there you don't have a full roster of guys. You should have three tight ends.
Hey, you think you're thin? We'll come back and talk about this. The cornerback position.
Ooh.
You talk about thin right now.
Well,
unless you're going to start playing like safeties across the board here pretty soon. All right.
Don't forget, if you want a chance for Zach Sealer to come to an elementary school and talk to the students there, it could happen. It's WQAM's MVP experience with Zach Sealer. He's on board to speak at a school. Just go to WQAM.com, enter an elementary school there. Got to be in Broward or Dade, and they might get a visit from Zach Sealer. So if you want more info or the contest rules, or you want to enter, go to WQAM.com, and you will get all the info right there. On the program today, we've got a meet and greet with Alexander Barkov at Palm Beach Autographs. That's on Saturday in Wellington. We're going to give that away today. And we also have a $50 gift card for Twin Peaks to give away sometime before 6 o'clock. So just keep listening for that. All right, let's do 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored. And that's brought to you by the Lexus TX, room for all your passions in three rows of luxurious comfort. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Game Day Uncensored this Sunday begins at 9 a.m. here on 104.3 FM, WQAM. And Tobin and Solana, Omar Kelly, will lead you up to Game Day, which begins at 1 o'clock, Miami hosting New England. And then it'll be a short week, Miami and Buffalo, the following Thursday. Hopefully they can get the win over New England on Sunday. But here are some of the questions. This is from David Fioronis in the Sun Sentinel. Here are some of the questions. He does a Dolphins Q&A. And one of the questions he gets, the first one, should the Dolphins fire McDaniel and Greer after the Buffalo loss in 10 days? Greer needs to be gone just as much as Mike. There's a emailer assuming they're going to lose against Buffalo. Fioronis responds, the hot seat both McDaniel and Greer are on was without question the story of the season going in. I did not imagine the conversation could be ratcheted up to this level this early, but after the unmitigated disaster that was the Dolphins' season opening loss to the Indianapolis Colts, that's where we're at. I'd honestly say, and this is David Fioronis speaking, I'd honestly say we've entered a stage where it is within the realm of possibility. I wouldn't say it's nearly likely that this is how the next 10 days go, but it's not entirely out of the question. Week one against a mediocre Colts team was never competitive. Quarterback Tua Tagovailoa turned the ball over three times. That and the accompanying deficit in turn never let the run game get going. Defensively, the secondary couldn't cover, and without much of a pass rush either, quarterback Daniel Jones looked like Peyton Manning at Lucas Oil Stadium. And oh yeah, there was a critical special teams penalty. Nothing went right. The Dolphins were uninspired, unprepared, and did not execute. These are all indictments on Mike McDaniel. The key is how it goes in Sunday's home opener against the Patriots. If the Dolphins drop that one, even looking half as awful as week one in Indianapolis against a Patriots team that lost to the lowly Raiders in its opener and has come into the September 1 p.m. heat and humidity of South Florida, all bets would be off because these Dolphins are not going into Orchard Park on a short week and beating the Buffalo Bills. If you're owner Steve Ross, you can't make any move merely off a loss to New England. But if the ensuing Thursday night at Buffalo, the Dolphins are blown out again or get to 0-3, Ross would be within reason going into a long weekend to blow the whole thing up with Greer and McDaniel. What else are you waiting for at that point? It would signify another season going down the drain during the first half where the Dolphins should be stacking wins against a tough second half of schedule. In the scenario where something happens this year, some would say Greer might stay while McDaniel goes. I think David Fiorina says they go down together. If we find McDaniel's tenure failed, that's in large part on Greer, who owns the longest active tenure as GM in the NFL without a playoff win. The franchise would have to start fresh with new direction from the GM on down and a new coach. All this said, I have the Dolphins winning Sunday's home opener against the Patriots, so you can put all that talk on hold.
It would be weird. I do not think you keep one and get rid of the other. But it would be weird to fire McDaniel week three and let Chris Greer stay on till the offseason. Like, Stephen Ross, we've talked about it. Like, people criticizing his decision-making. I think you either have to let him stay around and just fight through the pain and fire them both in the offseason or clean house early. I don't think you can fire one without firing the other and giving another guy. And Chris Greer would know, I got 3 months left for this job. Like, you're just sitting there as a lame duck. I don't think one leaves and the other stays for a window of time. And there's a lot of decisions to be made, like the Tyreek Hill trade. So you get rid of McDaniel, you leave Greer around to make the Tyreek trade just to fire him the offseason. It just that concept doesn't make sense to me.
Beyond that, though, I mean, no joke. I understand, you know, it's very difficult to make a decision, and it's probably never the right time to make a decision like that. But imagine how it would look if Stephen Ross fired the general manager after letting him make signings, draft your future assets, make trades throughout the entire offseason, and then 3 weeks into the season, after you let him do all that and impact your franchise for years, that's when you decide to let him go. Again, I realize there's never going to be the right time to do it, but that also is as silly as it gets.
It's not, though, if you find out a lot quicker than you thought you'd find out that none of it worked. Because the thought was, because I even said before the season started, hey, this is going to be a season to make or break Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer. But I always figured the season, there wasn't a scenario where I thought 3 weeks in you'd be talking about making a change. Didn't think there was a scenario. That's how bad they looked opening week. Like that, like it was unfathomably bad. So I would say if they do come out looking lethargic and get wiped off the field on Sunday, and then you know you're going to a short week against Buffalo, I think if they get wiped off the field Sunday by New England, the process will be in motion and it'll happen after Thursday. I don't think there's a chance that they would upset Buffalo. So I do think that, you know, while it's an admission that everything you said was okay and we're riding with wasn't, it's better than trying to pretend like, hey, it might get better. Like you just find out sooner rather than later. Wow. I had faith. None of it was right.
And with Greer, is Savinaya, did he make a difference? Aaron Brewer, James Daniels out now. He tore his pec. Like the additions you added to this team, I didn't see any difference. Even at front seven, the linebackers he brought in, there was no difference in the front seven. We're good with Storm Duck and Jack Jones. Storm Duck's hurt. We're not good with Storm Duck and Jack Jones. And now we're really not good with Jack Jones and whoever else is playing, Marshall, the fifth round pick. To your point, Solana, a draft pick. It's Kenneth Grant. Did he make a play? Like it starts. A 25-point loss makes you look at everything in a microscope. You get beat by the Patriots, and you're going to play primetime Thursday night in Buffalo, which that's not going to go well. You have to look at it and say, hey, I might almost – I don't know if this is what you're saying, Solana, almost to the point that I didn't do it early enough. How long can I wait to really make the change to get us back on top?
Yeah, and, you know, just, it's a counter to what I was saying earlier, but if I am Stephen Ross and things do get out of hand again and it becomes clear I was wrong in allowing this person to run the franchise for another season, don't you almost have to say, okay, I was wrong, but how can I let him continue after the mistakes he made over the offseason? You know what I mean? Like, if he's just not the guy, he's not the guy. Why let him continue making decisions? Crowder, the reality is, you look at an NBA team, and when the Heat had the big three, if LeBron, Bosch, and Wade all had bad days, they weren't going to win a game. It just wasn't going to happen. James Jones and Eddie House weren't winning you basketball games. The Miami Dolphins are similar to that. They don't have the big three, but they're top heavy. And if Tyreek Hill can't get the football because Tua Tagovailoa is having an off day and can't get it to him, the reality is they're not going to win football games. It just is what it is. So no matter what other moves Chris Greer made, that's what happens when you have a top-heavy football team. He could have drafted the best player in the draft, the biggest diamond in the rough. Kenneth Grant's not winning you a football game. Like Tua to Tyreek, Tua to Waddle, Devon Achane, the offensive line, that's winning you football games. That's what they committed themselves to.
If you get rid of McDaniel, Anthony Weaver takes over, correct? Like, is it Frank Smith, Anthony Weaver?
Not that the Anthony defense Weaver looked great on Sunday, but yes.
He's going to be Anthony Weaver, the young guy. It's almost like, what was it? Antonio Pierce in Las Vegas. Like, you're going to get the young player coach, to get, you know, the guy that everybody likes. If you get rid of Chris Greer week three, you have to have a GM in place to make a lot of decisions. Free agent signings, trades with Tyreek, which I think if we go 0-3, Tyreek's not going to be here through the year. They already have odds on him not to be with the Dolphins. Who is that guy? You always say, just fire him, fire him, fire him, fire him. So who's going to take his place to make a lot of crucial decisions for the rest 3 months of this Dolphin season? And then does he keep the job in this whole offseason? Does whoever takes over Chris Greer, is he now the GM through the draft next year? Is he an interim GM?
Right.
It's a lot more than just we look bad, fire people. You have to have a replacement.
It's an untenable situation because the truth is, so if you bring in someone new to make all these decisions in the interim and you make decisions that affect the franchise moving forward, but then you go out and you want to get a certain coach and that coach might say, yeah, but I need all the control. And so the person you hired to make all these decisions now is kind of on the outs. Like it's just not a situation. This is why no team wants to be in this situation, because there's so many moving parts to it. And every decision you make is going to affect the next decision that gets made. All that being said, David Fironas gets another question in the Sun Sentinel. How much will it cost to move on from Tua after this season? I've heard conflicting info. Fironas says a Yahoo story Tuesday detailed a path similar to how the Denver Broncos got out from the Russell Wilson contract. It revealed that it would cost the Dolphins $79.2 million over the next two seasons. The team could allot $62.4 million on the 2026 cap and the remaining $16.8 to 2027. The Dolphins already have $33.6 million in dead cap space for 2026, with Ramsey and retired left tackle Ron Armstead together combining for more than $31 million of it. To move from Tua would require a cheap starting quarterback next season, possibly an avenue to find one as a top draft choice if the team is picking high in the draft and rebuilds this year.
And is that a tank? Is that the question? Are we tanking for now to go get a young guy or to sign a vet?
Because well, no, if you get rid of Tua after this season, you'd be drafting a quarterback. So then you'd have a quarterback for cheap. Like you'd have to draft a quarterback high, so you'd get a quarterback cheap. The reason you'd get rid of Tua after the season is because they have an awful season. So you'd imagine they'd have a high draft pick, and then you would get rid of him, eat the dead cap space, but you'd have a very cheap quarterback because of drafting one.
Arch Manning, Garrett Nussmeier, and Lenore Sellers are the three top quarterbacks. Does that move any?
Well, don't forget about Carson Beck.
Carson Beck. I'm just looking at – I looked at the top 10 mock draft. It's so funny. The website's called Tankathon. Mm-hmm. But it's – yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thought of New Orleans, right, that they're tanking for Arch Manning.
And that's who's number one is the New Orleans Saints are drafting Arch Manning number one overall, quarterback out of Texas.
Our old friend Adam Beasley, to that point, and by the way, like, I know we're a long way from this becoming true, so who knows?
Yep.
And I don't think the Dolphins are moving on from Tua this offseason anyways. I genuinely don't. I don't think there's an out for them the following season, so I just don't think so. But our old friend Adam Beasley, who I know no longer is full-time on the beat, but he has been here for a very long time. He said, if the last 25 years have taught the Dolphins and their fans nothing else, it should be this. Unless you have a generational quarterback, you must try to improve at that position every single offseason. He writes, college football gets it. The NFL should too. And I know it's very easy to say that, like, go find Patrick Mahomes, go find Joe Burrow, and it almost never happens. But I think, you know, he's right. Like, you shouldn't just settle when you find a good quarterback. You should consistently be trying to find a great quarterback. The Commanders are proof positive there. They hit on that, and look at where they are. Literally a season and one game in, they feel like they're Super Bowl contenders now every year for the next decade.
But Trevor Lawrence was a generational quarterback. Jags ain't doing a damn thing. Dak Prescott, Hawk loves him. The Dallas Cowboys, they do the same thing we do. Get to the playoffs, get their ass whooped. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, like, we can go through those top five. They're not making – Nussmeier is not Josh Allen. Arch Manning is not Josh Allen.
I'm with you, but Josh Allen wasn't Josh Allen until he turned into Josh Allen. No joke. I remember Josh Allen's first playoff game against Houston. He was a disaster. He was throwing the ball over the place. It was a nightmare. I thought this guy sucked.
Until he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, so you got to give guys chances. I get it. I mean, I think there's a real conversation to be had if Tua continues. And the question is Tua going to continue to look like he looked on Sunday, or was that the one-game aberration? I asked that of someone yesterday. Like, that's the real question.
This, and it's so funny that they're both itsy-bitsy spiders. Drew Brees got ran out of San Diego, went to New Orleans, and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's a little bitty dude. Tua's a little bitty dude. He was injury-prone with the Chargers. He tore his hip up or something, just like Tua's been getting concussions. But he was talented, and we look at Drew Brees as a very good quarterback. We look at Tua as a very good quarterback. Tua goes to, I don't know, the Browns. Will he be better? Can he go get over that hump? Because why don't you just bring a better regime in to coach him? Like,
Tannehill example. It's like, hey, did you have to get rid of Tannehill? Maybe you could have brought in Derrick Henry. what I mean? Well, like, you could do the yin and yang of that all the time.
AFC championship game?
Yeah.
So was Tannehill terrible, or was our coaching staff terrible? That's what we're going to happen with.
Or did you miss Derrick Henry? Like, yeah, there's so many moving parts. There's no answer. Yeah. It's like, no, Tua's not going to be a good NFL quarterback. No, Ryan Tannehill's never going to be a great NFL quarterback. All of a sudden, he's in the AFC championship game, but he happens to have Derrick Henry in the backfield. So it's hard to play that game.
I get what you're doing, Crowder, but I do, comparing Tua to Drew Brees, I see the parallels. But, bro, Drew Brees ended up being one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And I know he was injury prone, but the longevity of his career is a testament to what he was able to accomplish. I mean, the guy I saw Sunday, and I'm saying this carefully, doesn't look like somebody's going to be playing football in 5 years.
Again, that's the question, though. Is the guy you saw Sunday really representative of what you're going to see moving forward? We're going to start to find out on Sunday. We got to take a break because the 4 o'clock hour is coming up.
5 years with San Diego Chargers, no one thought Drew Brees was good. Goes to New Orleans, and we love Drew Brees.
Yeah. Yeah. sometimes a change of scenery helps, but also a change of teammates, depending on who you get surrounded with, has a huge
roster construction.
It has a huge difference in what goes on there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. It's time for a little 15 minutes of game day, uncensored, brought to you by the Lexus TX. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. People are frustrated. Mike McDaniel. He did have good news for everybody. Here's what he had to say.
You know, I would say the good news and the positive is I don't see how it could be worse. And I also believe in, you know, the coaches and players to get it fixed, because it wasn't, you know, it's just a shame. It's you work behind the scenes for months on end and you don't show any of it. It's frustrating, but that can be a good thing. And that's what I saw from the positive. I also, you could tell, as frustrating as it was, the team didn't splinter and the effort still remained. There's things there, but overall, I'm not trying to, you know, paint a glossy, I'll call it what it is. It wasn't, you know, embarrassing, not anything that
what the hell is he saying?
Paying fans sign up for.
Yeah. No kidding, dude. Yeah, no kidding.
Time out. I'm sorry, bro. When you got to start, when you answering questions and you got to say we're not splintered, you're splintered. Because nobody asked you that.
You know who's splintered, Vlad?
The fan.
We're splintered.
Yes, I understand.
We've splintered off because you've been sitting here. And you want to know something? Leroy's been doing such an eloquent job today trying to give you advice to fix your horse's ass offense.
Yeah, he's done a great job, Leroy.
But let me tell you something. Let me break it down for you here, McCoachin. Fix it. That's what we want. You go out there. You do your funny little dance. You say your things with your funny little glasses on. You're making jokey jokes to Dan Marino. What we want you to do, extension, Mike McDaniel, what I want you to do, guru, is fix it. Because the only reason we liked you in the first place was not because of your quirky little press conferences. I want bombs. That's why I was having fun. Because you were putting up 70, and now you have the audacity to tell me, it's just a shame. We prepared so much to do it, and you guys didn't see it. Hey, you want to know something? Obviously, you didn't prepare enough, because you had this whole cam talking about, we're going to be tough, it's going to be different, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. None of it's happened, Leroy. You want to know why?
She's the pot.
Because he hasn't fixed it, dude. That's why. You promised me you were going to fix it. You told me it was going to be fixed. And it's more broken than ever. And you have the audacity to say it can't get worse. Really, dude? Well, by my count, in about 10 days, I think it can be. Because you have an absolute rhinoceros coming in at quarterback from Buffalo. And trust me when I tell you, it can get worse. So don't even have the gall to tell people the good news is it can't get worse. Are you kidding me? It's a shame.
We got three offensive guys hurt and banged up,
and they only played 29 plays.
Crazy.
Dude, I not for nothing.
They made Leroy, he made Leroy sad. Like, did you see Leroy?
He's depressed. Yeah.
Leroy's, I've not seen Leroy like this.
Listen. That hasn't been the same.
Here's why I'm annoyed by this. I should not be able to watch a game and sit on my couch and say, here's how I would adjust to defeat that. And the guy who you paying all that money to hasn't figured it out. Is that okay to say?
Yeah.
Right? Like, for example, if me and Tobin are doing a show, right, you should not expect Tobin to know more football than me. Nor should you expect me to know more about the fight game than Tobin. It's just that's the way it is.
Expertise.
So if I'm explaining football to you in this way, and I've simplified, I haven't even made it complicated. What do you think the head coach and the offensive guru should be doing? That's what I'm frustrated about.
And how many gurus you need? You bring in all these people. Your little frat pack there. Slowick and Frank Smith. Oh, Frank tells me this tight end's going to be great. I got a recording deal last year. Get the hell out of here. That was your solution at tight end?
Don't you have to win to be a guru?
He was won everywhere else.
Not calling plays, he wasn't.
Yeah, that was Shanahan.
Sitting there just, you know, safe.
I would just say that I told you, Tobin, that if I saw a sweep or a bubble screen,
mm-hmm.
I was going to lose my mind.
Yep.
I have extended that to also include the deep square in with 8 of the 11 guys in the middle of the field.
Nice.
Listen. I'm going to say this, and this is not a knock on the person I'm getting ready to say this about. X ain't no damn offense guru.
Xavier Howard?
Yeah. If he could figure it out, you ain't doing something right. Because you should always be one step ahead of a defensive player.
Oh, no. If he could figure this out and he hasn't played in 2 years, that means right. Your offense has not adjusted in the 2 years that he hasn't played. Because he would know your offense very well since he played defense. He was defensive back of your team. So he would know from training camp and practices. So being the fact that they signed him, 2 weeks before the game, and he was able to tell him everything that was about to happen, and if you really look at that game, it looked like the Colts knew exactly what the Dolphins were going to do. Their play calls, their adjustments, their audibles, all of that.
Vlad, there was no adjustments. When was the last time you saw Tua audible? He doesn't. Okay? So, listen, as much as I say defenses are dumb, right? If you only give them one thing to think about, they can fix that.
I wish you would stop saying that, though. It's just not very nice.
What?
Just that defenses are dumb. It's just not polite.
They are.
Not just
they are. You know why? Because they're the only positions in sports that think it make them look smart if they yell which way you going.
Yeah, well, how about that?
Right?
How about
they're the only people in sports, right? That if you run the same play three times, they can cover it. But if you deviate from that, they seem lost.
But they, so what happens?
Yeah, but
so
how about when Tua had to yell at his team to get in the right place?
I'm just saying.
I was like, oh my God. Like, we're still, can we just tell you something?
No, that, listen.
Are we still doing this?
From the offensive side of the ball, every team that happens every game.
Does it?
That's not.
Don't let it happen down 30.
No, but it just happens.
Oh, like, it's so infuriating, though, dude.
Because when you hear the play call, to be honest with you, some of the plays are really wordy. And when you listen to the play, you sometimes forget the formation.
I'll tell you one
thing. That's not an indication of how bad you are.
It's not an indication of how good they are. And let me tell you something, Mike. You say it can't get worse.
Let me tell you one saving grace with that game. It was on the road. And I'd hate to see what the fan reaction is going to be like today if you put up another clunker like that. Because I got to imagine, my friend, this fan base is coming in heated for this game.
Then. So first possession is very critical for the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
And wait a minute.
I'm talking about this Sunday.
I got another one. Another one for you. Besides the adjustment to their offense is having Alex Ingold run the crossing route. We ain't going to even talk about that.
I just don't understand why they run.
But you ever notice the squaring always comes from left to right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be noticing that. Dude, if I can watch a game and point out, I shouldn't be noticing that. I always watch the game and say, ooh, this is what I think they're going to do. Let me see what the adjustment is. And they run the same damn thing?
Are you sure you're just not advanced?
You're not AI?
You sure? You're saying Lou Anarumo's going to notice that going in?
By the way.
X noticed it.
By the way.
Wait. Because here, let me explain something to you. When you do zone blitz, right? The guy who's blitzing, which is the DBs, and you drop one of those fat linemen off, when you practice it in practice, you put a parking cone, and you tell him, go to the parking cone. You don't tell him to cover anybody. Where do you want me to drop back? Drop back to this area right here. You ain't got to adjust. You ain't got to do nothing. He going to throw it right to you. So when the fat ass rush in, drops back to the parking cone, and you throw it to him, you know what's better than a sack for a big man? A pick 20 yards down the field.
Not me.
He was scared.
He was supposed to be there.
No, he. Did you see what? His face? His face was going right to the camera, like he wanted smoke with the.
We need to get Leroy Cam during the game.
Oh, a camcord, like a camera, a Leroy Cam.
Yeah, Leroy Cam.
Dude,
nah. But what would Socrates say to that?
Chicken.
Socrates would say
chicken. Chicken wings might be flying everywhere. Wings might be flying everywhere.
Socrates would say, "Don't use take my name out your mouth." We ain't on the same level.
Wow. Yo.
What would Socrates say to that?
McDaniel has upset Leroy. I've never seen it.
Dude, here's why. Here's why I'm upset with Mike McDaniel. Because I know he's better than this.
Yeah, are we sure? We may think that he is. I don't know.
You know, I anticipated this question.
Here comes the crossing route. Left to right. Uh-oh. Fat-ass Russian is in the way. I wonder how they figured that out. Because I've been running the same stuff for 3 years.
Dude, Leroy,
that's not Mike McDaniel's way.
Change it up. Run the crossing route from right to left.
Leroy lost it.
Dude, am I wrong? Am I lying?
No, you're not lying. But
okay.
You're usually the calm. Tobin's usually.
Because you know why? Here. You know why I can usually be calm? Let me tell you why. Because in some cases, Tobin lucks up on being right, but he don't really know why he's right.
I don't appreciate
and
that.
And in my mind, I'm breaking it all down.
No, but I know things. Don't say that. I don't luck into it.
Dude.
I'm a big snack time guy.
Oh, I'm going to go get me a piece of cheesecake in this next break. I'm just telling you, dude.
I just want to know why they keep on going sideways. Like, the end zone's north and south. They're always throwing sideways.
Let me tell you something. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are the smallest two guys on the field. Why are they blocking for each other? You got 1,000, you got 1,200, 1,300 pounds of beef in between the hash marks, and your solution is, let's put Alex Ingold in to catch a ball and have Tyreek and Waddle block for him. Figure that out.
Ergo, what do you want him to tell him to do?
Anything else.
No, you want him to tell him to fix it! Fix it!
That will be the name of this segment.
Take a break. Got to step away from this for a minute. Mix things up next.
No, we don't!
Thank you, Woody. Scott Zolak, Patriots radio analyst, former NFL quarterback, and got a hot show, 98.5, the Sports Hub, from 10 to 2 a.m. in Boston. Scott, thanks, man. It's been a while. How you doing, bud?
Hey, it's good to talk to you guys. What's up, Joe? Hi, Kim. How we doing?
Good, good. We've done better. Let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
You saw that crap show, or at least heard about it. It was terrible. I mean, it's the worst thing we've seen.
I heard about it.
You just happen to hear a little something about it.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, so we're looking at you guys now, and kind of wondering, you guys kind of the darlings of the off season, spent a lot of money, high draft pick, got a new tackle. How'd they look overall for the first week for you, Scott?
Who are you talking? The team in general?
Yeah, just in general.
They look sluggish. I don't want to say boring. I don't want to say hesitant, but you know they did make plays throughout the course of the game. You know, the guys who went and got. I thought Spillane had some good pressures. Milt Williams, all those guys in the middle, and especially Landry off the edge. I think he had 2.5 sacks. But you guys know how fast Tua gets rid of the ball. It's going to be a matter of trying to cover these guys up, which we've really never done in, what, the last 3 years? I think Tua's, what, 7-0 against us?
Yeah, he's got – he's won a bunch, yeah.
I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to say it.
What?
You're not coming off of his best game.
No, he's not. No.
Yeah. But it's weird, too. Like, you look at the Miami roster, you guys lost a lot of good players. You know, get rid of Ramsey, bring in Fitzpatrick back. Rip Van Winkle off the edge there. You guys could use him.
Yep.
He was a good pressure guy. He was a good linebacker. It just seems like you lost some core pieces. And, the talk around the league and from people up here is that not that the coach lost the team, but I think a lot of people thought at some point it was going to come unraveled for him.
Yeah, well, we're wondering now going into week two. It's funny you said that because, yeah, that's what the fan base, which is about as salty as we can remember, and they should be. That thing was pathetic.
Yeah.
So, hey, Drake May, year two, I thought he was really good considering he had nothing with him down here last year. I thought he was really, really good. How's he looking year two here now?
Well, I mean, it's only one game. It's Josh McDaniels' offense. You guys remember that from the Brady era.
Yeah.
He's got a lot on his plate. You know, that's a big talk of it up here. He just turned 23. The kid really should just be a rookie. But the experience last year, people was like, oh, he played scared on Sunday. I'm like, he did not. You know, he played 10 games last year. He's not afraid. I think he's not pulling the string. You know, I mean, he's not letting it go. As a quarterback, you got to believe it. You got to see it. You got to let it go. I think he's hesitating right now. And he was a great quarterback, but he had really good stats. You know, Drake's got to find a way to win games, and that'll get him going.
So you got, you know, you kind of reshuffled your offensive line. You brought in some new players.
Yeah.
How much is that going to take him to feel comfortable in being able to stand back there if he needs to be back there, you know, the tick or two to get the ball out? How long do you think it's going to get him to feel comfortable in that situation?
Well, it's depending on what they're telling him. I think they want him to be a thrower first, runner second. He had really good wheels, man. I think he paused at times in this game, or maybe he could have took off and he was trying to wait, get the throw in. It's just that whole rhythm of it. The more you play, the better you get. And he didn't play a lot in the preseason. I hate the way the NFL teams now approach the preseason. They sit everybody. Starters don't play. It's an annoying three-game stretch.
We agree, by the way. We are all talking like old schoolers with this new system because we look like we had a bunch of guys didn't play in the preseason the way they started. Will Campbell, fourth pick overall at tackle. Does he look like a fourth overall pick? He look all right?
Well, I'm used to fourth overall picks being quarterbacks or receivers or, you know, the pass rusher. You know, rarely do you take a guy like a Joe Alt 2 years ago at number three. We need a tackle, man. We were bad. You guys know we were bad at the tackle position the last 2 years. We're starting two rookies on that left side. So he and the kid Wilson from Georgia, and they, I thought, played better than the two veterans on the right side.
Wow.
Yep. There are a couple false starts of that, but they'll figure that out.
Hey, Christian Gonzalez, is he back this week? He's so good, man. He's had so many good games against the Dolphins. How's that looking?
I don't know. I mean, we're going on 6.5-7 weeks now with the hamstring. So,
oh boy,
you know, these soft tissue injuries, they suck because, you know, you think a guy's coming back and then maybe he re-injures it. I don't know. I'd say it's 50-50 plays. I really don't know though. He wasn't in practice yesterday.
Hey, so I was, one thing that surprised me about your game going back, Geno Smith had 9 pass plays over 20 yards. And your secondary has given us, even through the good days for the Dolphins, yeah, that secondary, your two safeties and your corners have had great success playing against us.
Yeah, they have. They have. But, like, we don't have Jonathan Jones anymore. You know, we're able to go down there, and I know he would take Tyreek Hill in the pass, and we'd try to double Waddle on the other side. You know, Marcus Jones is a really fast kid. I could see him getting on Tyreek this week. You know, they paid Carlton Davis $20 million to come here and play opposite Gonzalez. So I do think, though, when we get Gonzalez back, we'll play a lot more man. I don't see us playing that much man this week, which is good for you guys.
Hey, how about Kyle Duggar? There's a, by the way, you want to talk about, like, all-time Dolphin? Like, I feel when he got that new contract, I was going, boy, the Dolphins had a lot to do with that. That guy was a tackling, interceptions. He was phenomenal. Is he getting back to 100%, or is he kind of getting phased to a little bit of a background now?
Yeah, I think he's close to 100%, but I think he's lost a little bit of a step. You know, he's played a lot of games. You know, he had surgery in the offseason on that ankle. It's just a scheme fit for him. You know, he and Peppers, I thought, were going to be, you know, sort of the two mainstays back there, and it's really the young rookie Woodson who's starting at safety, and, you know, he's playing pretty well. His fourth-round pick out of Cal.
Hey, what about Mike Vrabel and the personality of this team that he's trying to develop? You know, you've kind of got that reputation as a tough guy. And so what are you seeing out of what this team is going to be probably, you know, mid-season?
Yeah, Mike's an intense guy. He's a bit of a ball breaker. He reminds me a lot of Bill Parcells. I would compare him more. People try to compare him to Belichick. He's not Belichick. He's more Parcells-like. Sort of tries to motivate each individual guy. He mixes it up and practice.
All right. Anyway, we lost.
That's a coordinator. I'm sorry. You guys got me?
Yeah, we got you back. We got you back. That's okay. We got you again. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the guys like Vrabel. He's a player's coach. you know, defensive guy, tough-minded. He's trying to instill the right type of culture here. And it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. Everybody thinks, oh, you're going to win 11 games this year. That's not going to happen.
Hey, by the way, I'll end it with this one. That stuff with Belichick and the team and Belichick, and now your scouts aren't allowed. I always think of you because you know Belichick as well as anybody doing the show all those years. Yep. So how do you handle that one? I'm just curious with the back and forth concerning how many games that guy's won and all the championships.
Honestly, I really don't get it. I think it's Bill being petty right now. He can't, you know, when they – ways here, you know, with the team, they offered his kids jobs here after it. Like, I just think this is a back and forth. He feels jaded. This is the way Bill acts. And he did this in a Super Bowl. Wouldn't play Malcolm Butler regardless of what the score was, you know, or how bad the defense was getting hurt. And we ended up losing it. So it's Bill being petty, and I don't like it.
Yeah. By the way, did you ever get to know the young girlfriend? Did you know about her or no? Did you know about that? Scott, were you holding out on me after all those years? Like, Bill's got a new secret there, man.
We're all surprised by everything that's going on, all right?
Scott. Hey, when things are so bad down here, brother, we have to do this.
I'll tell you more stories in the booth. And all the booths are coming down
to you. That sounds good. Hey, bud, thank you so much. God, appreciate it, man. We'll see you in a couple of days. Good talking to you.
I'll see you Sunday.
All right, man. Thank you. Scott Zolak, Patriots radio analyst.
You know, the coach's show, he's doing that with that had to be tough with Belichick.
He did it the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's doing Vrabel. I know he and Vrabel.
You know, I actually saw that show a couple times. And actually, he was pretty good on it. Belichick was pretty good on that show.
You know, he did a radio show too, like for all the stuff.
Yeah.
He'd go on and you know, he didn't always like what he hear, but he stuck with it. I don't know.
It's like anyway. Everyone else when you pay you enough and
That money, there's no question. There's no question about that. All right. Hey, we got 9 o'clock hour. Bo and I got a lot of Dolphin stuff to get to. Don't go away. We are not skipping anything this morning. We got some thin positions right now. We'll get into that, and we'll get into all the stuff with the coach and looking ahead here to game two and what might happen. All that straight ahead. But
this episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.